It's not often that there's a new majority sworn in on both sides of the Capitol, in both chambers. And in recent times, turnovers have happened less often in the House than in the Senate. In January 1955, the Democrats assumed control of the House, and they held on to it for 40 years. It took the GOP until January 1995 to take it back.
Please, all of you, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the
Constitution? Here's one measure of how long 40 years is. When the new speaker, Newt Gingrich of Georgia, addressed the 104th Congress 12 years ago today, not a single member of his caucus had served long enough to have ever been a member of the majority. So much history had transpired while the GOP walked the political wilderness that when he spoke that day, Gingrich acknowledged some of what the Democrats had gotten right in their age of ascendancy from the New Deal through the Civil Rights Movement.
The fact is, it was the liberal wing of the Democratic Party that ended segregation. The fact is that it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt who gave hope to a nation that was in despair and could have slid into dictatorship. And the fact is, every Republican has much to learn from studying what the Democrats did right. But I would say to my friends...
He said, the Republicans had something to teach the Democrats. In 1995, we followed some House freshmen. One of them was Republican J.C. Watts of Oklahoma, who reminisced with us a couple of weeks ago.
There's an energy, excitement, I think a little bit of naivety. I think whether you're in the majority or the minority, there was an excitement, an energy. You're coming to make a difference, have an impact, and setting the course of the nation, and we had a hand in that.
California Democrat Zoe Lofgren also came to Capitol Hill in 1995. She had run hoping, even expecting, to be in yet another Democratic majority. Instead, she took her seat in the minority. She gives the Republicans credit for one thing. They reduced the power of committee chairmen, who in the past had run their committees like personal fiefdoms.
Their efforts, successful ones, I would say, to make sure that the chairman of the committees really served the entire caucus, not just whoever manages to be selected chair. And that's an important change.
In the 104th Congress in 1995, there were several big changes. The Contract with America pledged voluntary term limits, which some members even observed. Gingrich gave the public new access to legislation through the Internet. Suddenly, you could read bills online. Political scientists Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein have been watching Congress since the 1960s. They've written a book together called The Broken Branch, How Congress is Failing America and How to Get It Back on Track. Tom Mann says that sometimes taking over the House doesn't have a huge impact if your party was only briefly out of power and the new majority is a small one. But neither of those things was the case back in 1995, when the changeover seemed epic.
New Speaker Newt Gingrich acting like the modern-day Moses with his 10-step contract with America, parting the seas of the Potomac River and leading his troops up the steps of the Capitol. It was a dramatic time and certainly signified a significant shift in our politics.
And at the start, they really did make some changes to open the process up after the kind of forced march that they went through early on with the contract with America.
Political scientist Norman Ornstein says the Republicans had hoped to make Congress the supreme branch.
Newt Gingrich got more attention than any congressional leader in history, really, became a household word and almost set himself up as a rival president. It didn't last that long, however. There's no way in which a Congress can become the supreme branch. And in the end, a lot of the changes that they implemented to transform the Congress into an open body and a deliberative body were not only altered but reversed over time.
But Norman Ornstein says a sitting president whose party loses control of Congress and a new upstart majority can be effective.
Because all of a sudden what you've got is a shotgun marriage between a Congress that is new in the majority and wants to stay there after 2 years and has to accomplish something, and a president who's either looking for re-election or looking for legacy.
For example, welfare reform in 1996, tax reform under Ronald Reagan after the Republicans lost the Senate in 1986. Tom Mann points out that there is a tension built into winning the majority. With absolute party discipline, you can win all the votes. You set the agenda, you have the committee chairs who call the witnesses, and you set the rules. Mann and Ornstein say, under Speaker Dennis Hastert, the Republican majority used the rules to turn the House into someplace as partisan as Britain's House of Commons. The only bills that could reach the floor were those approved by a majority of the majority. Thomas Mann says over time, the Republican idealists of January 1995 started placing the will to win over respect for the rules of the chamber.
The ends justify the means. A conference process to reconcile differences between the House and the Senate is reduced to a handful of leaders working out deals in the dead of night, adding items after the report has been signed off, and then rushing it to a floor vote before anyone has a chance to read it.
Or what happened at 3 a.m. one Saturday in 2003. The Republican-led House voted on President Bush's Medicare bill. After the standard 15 minutes, they came up just short of a majority. So the leadership ignored the rules and held the vote open for almost 3 hours until they got a couple of skeptical Republicans to change their votes. Then and only then, Speaker Dennis Hastert lowered the gavel. Democrats, like Barney Frank of Massachusetts, could hardly believe what they were seeing.
Mr. Speaker, a parliamentary inquiry. After all the razzle-dazzle, exactly what was the prevailing side?
The ayes have it.
Oh.
The second-ranking Democrat, Steny Hoyer of Maryland, protested to the Speaker that the Democrats had really carried the day.
We have prevailed on this vote. Arms have been twisted and votes changed.
The House will be in order.
It even sounded like the House of Commons. By the time the GOP lost its majority last fall, they were widely perceived as ineffective and as part of the very corrupt system that they'd once campaigned against. Representative Zoe Lofgren of California, who has spent 6 terms in the minority until now, says there is a lesson to today's freshmen.
Keep your focus on ordinary people. You know, looking back on the 12 years that the Republicans ran the Congress and really, I think, in a lot of ways, ran the government right into the ground, they lost focus on what was important to regular people in the country. They got tied up with the hot shots and the money bags on K Street and their own rhetoric. And finally, the country just got fed up with it.
J.C. Watts, who was sworn in as a Republican freshman 12 years ago today, served 4 terms, then left Congress, but stayed in Washington, in part to lobby. His lesson?
The guy said to me here a month and a half or so ago, before the elections, he said, members come to Washington thinking that it's a cesspool, but once they're sworn in, they think it's a jacuzzi. You know, and I think Republicans got swept up in that a little bit.
Swept up and swept out of office. The question for the new majority on Capitol Hill, can they avoid the same mistakes?